Jope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Jope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Jope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Yes, week one. Tomorrow night, the season opener. Yesterday or Monday, well, we weren't here on Monday, so it was definitely yesterday. Apologies for the early confusion.
That seems like it's got to be right.
Yesterday, you mentioned how you were just sort of looking up the week one schedule. Like you were maybe, you might admit to being behind on it.
Well,
I'm not sure you were behind.
What I said was, as we started the show, I think it was the first segment even, I didn't have the schedule open yet, the week one. It's something that I will do each week when I come in on Mondays after Sunday. I will set my browser up so that I've got the Bills stats, I've got their schedule, I've got the standings, and
all different pages?
Yeah.
Different tabs?
Yeah, and the schedule, just so I can quickly get to any one of them I want while we're talking here.
I guess that's fine.
And so thank you for your blessing. but I didn't have the schedule open as we started the show, and I thought, like, oh, I'm behind. I gotta get that open. And that was really the first time I had looked at it since the schedule got announced, I think, probably. Like, I hadn't had any fantasy drafts prior to last night. So
how did that go, by the way?
I wasn't thinking. I hated every second of it. I wasn't thinking about, like, the week one. I didn't have it, you know. I didn't have any of it committed to memory. I really didn't know, I mean, who the Bills were playing. I know the big standalone games.
So you're not in the Eliminator contest?
I don't, I guess not, no.
That's a good one. We're like, the field gets cut down like pretty significantly every week. So you really do want to have like a week one centric team.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't participate in the Eliminator, then what do you need to know who the Falcons are playing in week one, right?
I just got in Joe Ostrowski's email about his survivor pool while I was away. Didn't do anything with that. That did not prompt me to go look at the schedule. I just said, okay, I'm going to leave that over there for now. I will do that before Thursday. I'm running out of time, by the way. Today was another day where I easily could have spent the 30 seconds it would take to like throw whatever it is, $50 his way to be in the pool, but I haven't still haven't done it yet. So hopefully by kickoff tomorrow, I'm ready.
We still have tomorrow's show to get through, and then you can do it. However, you know more than you knew yesterday because you told me about some FanDuel promotion where you can win extra on week one. And I'm thinking that now maybe you have dug in to those matchups and picked a best bet for week one.
Well,
no or no?
Well,
I did.
I picked four best bets, is what I did. Because I love that parlay action. So I took four. The promotion is, I guess, today, I think I did an ad for this. I should maybe know it better than I do. I should look at my copy here. But today, I think it expires at midnight tonight. There's a 100% profit boost on Moneyline NFL bets. Mm. Then there's another one tomorrow. Same thing. Like I claimed them both. It was at the top of your screen. They have all the offers there. Like claim. Just I'll claim everything and just decide whether I want to use it or not. I mean, if you know, who knows? I may want to bet on soccer.
Might as well claim it.
So yeah, just have it there in the holster. And yeah, that's when I realized, oh, there's the same offer, you know, tomorrow as today. So I put one in for today. And so, no, I did not review the whole schedule.
Okay.
I just looked at, I went far enough until I got four games that I felt like, okay, I'm all right with this on the money line. Let's parlay that and we'll see what happens. So that's what I did. And, but you know, 100% profit boost is a tasty little morsel there.
It's not as good as it sounds. I'll say it. Feel free to not comment. But it's not as good. 100% feels like double. But I found a game where my team was like minus 145 and it went to like plus 137. So somehow that's 100%. And it was a $10 limit. You're a bigger spender than I am, so you have higher limits.
I guess, yeah.
Or maybe I've just won too much.
Those offers for me were 25 max bet.
So they're limiting me because they're afraid of me, and I picked a team at minus 143, which is like, oh, this is a little bit gross, but it's not like betting the Eagles to win or some, you know, cheapo. So I do, and then it gets pumped to plus 137. And then as soon as I did it, and I'm sure I can cash out and like lose 10% or something, and that won't feel great, but I'm not going to do that. Then I remembered that 6 weeks ago, whenever it was, this might have been even longer ago, that where the odds were out for the week one games, I did a three-teamer with the other team in that game included. So already, it's not even it's not even here yet, and I'm on both sides of a game.
Yeah.
But my attitude about this game changed dramatically today.
Why is that?
Because two things. One, fantasy lineups, and we have a decision between two quarterbacks, and I thought about the choice for the first time, like, oh, wait a minute. This might not be the best spot for this guy that I've been drafting all summer. And the other is they lost a lineman today. The Jets.
The Jets, yeah.
So I'm totally on Pittsburgh now. I was on the Jets, Rodgers. Now I'm like, you're telling me, you're giving me Mike Tomlin and the Steelers with 4 months to hone in on the Jets, whose quarterback was on the Steelers last year and is like really one-dimensional.
Right.
They're not going to win that game, Pittsburgh. Like, they're really not going to win that game.
I don't know why you would.
Why was I on the Jets in the first
game? Yeah, right. I mean, it's football. You're probably intoxicated by all of your ownership of Fields in the fantasy space that can have that effect. I think you're talking this all through and you're admitting that maybe that's what happened because I can't see. I mean, it's the NFL. Of course, I can see anything happening. But everything you just said times 100 to me. Yeah. I mean, I just think there's no way the Steelers lose that game.
Except for being bad, they probably win, the Steelers. Except for being a bad team, they probably win. Like, a good or great defense, like a loaded defense Justin Fields.
They're bad. They're mid. They're what they've always been.
Who do you want to have win that game? Are we there yet for these games? Like, who's a better result for you? Betting, fantasy, notwithstanding.
Oh, the Jets would be a better result.
The Jets winning?
I think it's way less likely that they win 9 or 10 games and are any kind of a problem, whereas the Steelers could, you know, the Steelers, to me, their range of outcomes is, to me, anywhere from 7 to 11 wins.
Wow. Okay.
I just think there's such a difference. I still think Rodgers is ultimately going to be limited just how effective he can be. But I think him on the Steelers is a very different thing than him on the Jets. I mean, I don't know what's going on there day to day, right? And I don't feel like I'm getting warning flares from Filippone or anything in Pittsburgh about how it's going there. I'd be surprised if the Steelers sort of handed over the kingdom to Rodgers the way the Jets did. Right, there's been no Alan Lazard. There's been no Nate Hackett.
Right.
There's been, you know, you're coming here. You're joining our team. We are not joining you. Is how it feels to me.
Oof.
And I think that could be exactly what someone like Rodgers needs. Just sort of just step back a little and just go play. So I'm not telling you I think he's going to go to the Pro Bowl or anything, but I just think it's a different thing. I think him on the Jets was always a joke to me. And him on the Steelers isn't a joke.
I like it. He had structure in his life. He got fat off of it. You know, his ego went out of control. Then, you know what? Green Bay, I don't need you. I can do whatever I want. I found a partner, a new partner, a new girlfriend who will let me do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to walk all over them. And then eventually they're going to be done with me, and I'm going to sort of want that. And now I'm going to go back to the structure that I'm used to, that I've been missing. The Jets were his year in France after high school or college where he just decided. Did you maybe even say that once? Like he took a year off. It was a two actually, but he didn't play for one. And just went to Europe and, you know, got went to the hostels, got on trains, went to all the countries.
Right, drank a lot of tea. Right,
that was the Jets. And now he's home and he's like, all right, I'm ready to sort of, you know, get go to bed on time. And
I don't really know. I haven't really thought of this Pittsburgh Rodgers point that I just made prior to just this second. So I don't even know. It could be pretty flimsy. But it does strike me that there's been a lot less. Maybe it's just New York versus Pittsburgh. I mean,
maybe.
But that maybe is all you need to not be consumed by the specter of that guy being on your team. It just seems like he's the quarterback of the Steelers, whereas in New York, he was Aaron Rodgers, more than the quarterback of the Jets.
I like it. I like all of this.
So, I don't know. I'm not rooting for him, I do think he could be better than he was in New York. I just think the team around him will make a difference.
The fantasy decision, by the way, was Fields versus Jordan Love against Detroit. And I'll just say this. The thing about Fields that you have to be careful with, like, so you want to invest in him because of the running. He ran for 1,000 yards 2 or 3 years ago. Like, he's very capable. And that's baked in. Like, that happens even when you don't like his matchup or you don't think he can throw the ball. Like, whatever it is you think about Fields negatively, the reason you draft him in round 9 or 10 is because that's there.
He's going to get your points, even though he's not going to play winning football, probably, for the team he's quarterbacking.
Okay. And so you don't want to forget that now.
Right.
Because maybe he pops a couple of runs against the Steelers, and he does for you what you drafted him to do, but your bias against him as an overall player, now that we're into like the real games part on the calendar, not just the fake games and the fantasy stuff, now it's to the point where, all right, so you did all this drafting of Justin Fields. Now can you like see him throwing for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns against Pittsburgh and running for maybe, but that was harder for me today.
Yes.
And then you walked in with your fancy Futures Day FanDuel promotion. Like, all right, let's go. I'm on the Steelers now.
You're so boring. You just bet one game. I mean, anybody can win one game.
I don't have that much money.
I'm going to bet four. I'm going to bet 4 underdogs and get 100% profit boost and see what happens.
That's what you should do.
That's what I did do. And I'll do that again tomorrow. Probably not like you. I think I'll avoid the. I'll get 4 different games. I think, or 3, whatever. We'll see how tomorrow goes.
I don't have any money in there, so I was limited by myself.
Yeah, I got you.
Sam Panayotovich on Friday. Joe Ostrowski tomorrow. Will spend more time on the lines. How do you feel about our game?
I think it's possible to be pretty pessimistic is a little strong. I think this is a very challenging week one. I'm really worried about the Bills secondary. And so I'm sort of bracing. I don't feel great about Sunday night. I'm sitting here right now. But that I think sort of always starts to, I'm still very optimistic about the season. I don't know why you wouldn't be. Because even if they're status quo from last year on the back end, they'll still, I think, get by. But I think this could be a very tough matchup because of that, especially if Benford is at all hampered and White isn't. There's a lot to worry about back there. So as it creeps closer, the anxiety starts to gnaw you. You're not as used to the ebbs and flows of the season yet, right? It's week one, and I find myself feeling more nervous about the game than I thought I would be, but it doesn't mean I'm nervous about the season. I'm mostly nervous for us all to freak out if it goes badly Sunday, you know, which we've got plenty of practice with that. So it's not like that's a form, but I'd like to avoid that. Like, you know, I'd like them to win the game so that it doesn't seem like, you know, people are going to be screaming for McDermott to be fired after week one or something, which
could actually, I mean, think about this. Could that happen?
Yes.
If this game goes Baltimore's way but is close, like the playoff game was, how is it going to sound again? Like, we're on fire?
I don't think that's not the scenario I'm predicting fire, but if
what it, is? What would it take?
Last year's game in Baltimore?
Okay. I can't imagine that happening, but It did happen last year on the road. Right. I could easily imagine the Ravens winning sort of a continuation of the playoff game, only they don't fumble over and over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that, and drop, you know, game-tying passes. Like,
right.
They're, we'll talk to Jeremy Kahn later about this. Their reputation at this point, it's so similar to the Bills, of course. Like, they've had almost the same existence, only the Ravens' losses have been different than the Bills' losses. And the game here is an example of that. I mean, the Bills, Josh Allen has not screwed up playoff games. And as great as Lamar Jackson is, he kind of has a couple times.
The two against the Bills, I mean, there's a pick six that was the biggest play of the first one in 20, and then last year he's, you know, he has one of the fumbles.
Yeah, that was a really tough one for him. But, you know, what, Sal mentioned the bad snap yesterday, still, like, the ball just stayed on the ground. I even kind of, like, as a total Lamar guy, like, I even thought on the Andrews play, like, there's sort of like a double take there that might have thrown the timing off. Like, he didn't trust it right away. And okay, but it's a drop.
It's like the play where the pitcher feels the ball between the mound and first base, and then does the underhand toss, and it goes awry because it's so easy. And the announcers say that's why they practice that in February. That was that kind of throw for Jackson, I think, just like too easy, and it can tie you up sometimes.
I don't know. Like, we'll find out. I mean, hopefully we don't. And the Bills have a night. I mean, if they won the same game as in the playoff game, we're 100% happy, right? I mean, people respect this opponent.
Sure.
Just any kind of win is good.
I think any kind of win would be fantastic. Yeah.
I think that's right.
You got the leg up on them. Yeah, I don't think it really matters. You know, there's always stuff within it. You know, if they miss a couple field goals, there'll be a Tyler Bass crisis or whatever. But yeah, no, any win in week one against that team to get you the very early, very, very early leg up in the race for the one seed, I mean, that's going to be welcomed, I think, no matter what it looks like. Style points, I don't think will matter a lot.
Is there a particular thing you would really love to see? I guess I think of Coleman first.
Yeah.
For this, like, for him to have a game, maybe like a 7 for 100 or some kind of game where, like, all right, maybe he really is something.
Especially against that secondary. Like, okay. Like, if they, like, that would be the most encouraging thing, because I do think this is – maybe there'll be a harder matchup secondary-wise, passing game-wise, but I think Baltimore, aside from having a two-time MVP and a freakazoid at running back, two-time MVP at quarterback, I should have filled it out, I think maybe the strength of that team is that secondary. It's all first-round picks, and there are really good to even elite players at every spot. You know, that's assuming Starks as a first-round guy, like, fits in there, but that's a pretty nice point of entry with Kyle Hamilton and Humphrey and Wiggins. Like, they're just stacked back there. So I think if Coleman were to have the kind of game you just mentioned, or even Palmer, you know, whatever, somebody, I get something downfield. There's 30-yard pass plays in this game from the Bills, which were very much in short supply last season. If that pops at all against that opponent, I think that would be very encouraging.
803-0550 for your thoughts. Trey White did not practice today. So on the other side of the ball, that'll be, of course, worth monitoring. Sean McDermott didn't rule him out today. But here it is, almost 2 weeks later. Is it even maybe 2 weeks later? And, like, he's not available.
Right.
That was interesting last week to try to, you know, translate between the lines on what they said and did or didn't do with White, because he didn't go on that IR, that 4 weeks to return. Right. They had two spots of every team has two spots available for that. And the Bills used one on depth lineman Tylan Grable. And, like, okay, well, it's only two, so this is probably a good sign for White. I mean, if they think he's going to need the 4 weeks, they use that spot on him.
Absolutely.
With Hairston. But they don't do that, so I took that to mean they don't think it has to be 4 weeks or even will be 4 weeks. But it didn't sound to me last week like Brandon Bean, it was his talking last week that I'm thinking of, that it was like it was all set. Like he wasn't fine.
Right.
You could tell. And now it's to the Wednesday before the game, and he's not available. So there's that to talk about. Shakir Limited, Bass Limited. They had kickers in here last week, but no official developments on that. And Samuel back on the field at practice, also Jordan Hancock. Sal will be on with us later to analyze. So we've got that to talk about, the opener on Sunday night. We've got the season opener tomorrow, Philadelphia up to 8.5 at home against Dallas. I've got my best bet in the Steelers for week one, but I totally reserve the right to cash out or change or do both on that. I'm getting ahead of myself needlessly here, but I saw an email today about the Thursday night game next week. The prime debut for the season.
Okay.
There's no prime this week. Is Washington at Green Bay.
All right.
So Green Bay, assumedly with Parsons, although he's got a back thing and like he's not. They're
talking about injections to get him on the field.
Oh, they are so talking about injections. He is, I guess, somewhat in question for Detroit. They play Detroit this week at home, but they start Lions Commanders at home. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
The Bills made a cap move reportedly on Deion Dawkins today, freeing up $8 million. Field Yates had it from ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
$8 million in cap space. I'd like to hear Sal on that. Is there some urgency for that? Like, why would you do that, like, week one of the season? There's some, you know, need in the secondary or something else that they're planning on addressing. We talked about the money a little bit yesterday and what the Bills may not be able to do, but or what they want to do here without more cap space.
I think I saw something that indicated that prior to that move, they were actually over by $3 million or so. So they may have just created like $5.5 million in space, which, you know, it's not nothing, but it mostly to me feels like, you know, I can function. You know, pulling guys up and down off the practice squad costs a little bit here and a little bit there and, like, whatever you're doing operationally. But, you know, I don't know. They could be worried enough to be thinking about, you know, someone out there that's still available at a corner, safety, who knows.
There are a couple of names. We've talked about this a little bit last week and also yesterday. So how do you feel about the week one matchup? 803-0550 for your calls. The Ravens, Jeremy Kahn will join us from Baltimore at 4. He's been on the show a few times. Sal Capaccio at 5 with the latest on injuries, what happened to practice, what was said about the injured players going into the opener Sunday night. Thanks for listening. Going to be a great weekend. The NFL season starts tomorrow, and we are here to discuss all of it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Yeah, no, you certainly don't flush it because there's a lot to learn. I mean, we have to understand how the game went, how they played us, what the schemes were. There's a lot of chess moves going on in that game that will be built on this game on both sides of the ball. And yeah, of course, the way the game is played, what we could have done better, certainly. What we did well, same for them, I'm sure, too.
John Harbaugh and the Ravens in town Sunday night, week one. You've had your time. You've had your chances when it comes to John Harbaugh. It's another season of Bulldog hating on the Bills' opposing coaches. How do we start this year with John Harbaugh? You know what helps him? Having Jim Harbaugh as his brother.
That's right, because I really, really cannot stand Jim Harbaugh. And so it feels, let's be honest, all of this feels really petty, but it would feel really petty to extend my hatred of his brother to him.
That's right.
The best. I don't really. I'm sorry. I'm letting you down. I don't.
It's still early.
There was a thing with him about some record they were trying to set for rushing yards that really annoyed me.
Yeah.
That I know I gravitated toward when asked about this. Even last September when they played them in, what was that, week 4? They played them last year.
Yes. There was a game in Denver a few years ago, and maybe they kept Jackson in at the end to pick up a few more yards because they were going for this record, quote record, of consecutive weeks rushing X number of yards. It's really not a record
and
at all.
And it was like some dopey number, like 89 yards or something. Like it just was not
terrible.
It wasn't like a big round boxcar number. It was just some weird number. At least that's how I remember it. I was going to go with that. And so that really ticked me off. And I just like, come on.
That is the chump zone.
If somebody was doing that to you, you'd be complaining about it, and you know it. You'd say something to the guy at midfield at the handshake. I don't know, but. He's a former special teams coach, and I like that. You know, just that he's been
people
at the peak of his profession from that background. But yeah, I don't know.
We got to get this hate back.
Yeah, I do. I got to try.
It's still
a little
too
harder.
Nice out.
I got to try a little harder.
It's still not week one. It's too nice out. At least we got Vrabel back for this.
Yeah.
This year, two times Vrabel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nick Sirianni.
That'll work. All day.
Work.
All day. Big Dom.
Big Dom. Don't get near him.
Dull. It's all.
I can see Joe Biscaglia sort of tiptoeing near Big Dom buddy. Down there on the field with his socks. Kellen Moore, no.
Yeah, I don't know. Aaron
Raheem
Glenn.
Morris. Aaron Glenn.
I don't. You know.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think you can bring yourself to hate Aaron Glenn?
I'll do what I can. I will do what I can. It's tough. It's tough. Like I wanted to like Mike McDaniel.
You did like Mike McDaniel.
Like
so did
different
I.
Style. I was worried it might not work because of the personality, and like maybe that ultimately will be the undoing. I don't want to claim that as a victory sitting here now, as we'll see. Maybe they'll have a surprisingly really good season or something, and he'll go on to coach them for another 5 years or something. But I don't. You know, his style I think is not conducive to bringing a room of 70 football players together. I think Vrabel is interesting because I respect him as a coach a lot. I like him a lot as a coach, but he just annoys me.
You don't like his face?
I don't like his face. I don't like, yeah, no.
He was in your defense, he was a Patriots player for a long time.
Yeah.
Like an impactful Patriots player. Like remember Brewski? Is he still around on TV, maybe?
He's on TV.
You know, some of these guys, Gronk, of course, like some of these guys, like, oh, it wasn't just Brady and Belichick.
They're never going away, right. Vrabel's catching touchdown passes and, like, just get out of here.
Just leave.
Yeah.
But some of these coaches, like maybe John Harbaugh, that the Bills play this year, you don't hate them. McDaniel, Andy Reid.
Boy, I would really like to work myself into a place where I hated Andy Reid.
Oh, you know what?
How hard would
that
be?
How great would that be, though?
It's so hard.
How great would that be if somebody just came in absolutely blazing hot about Andy Reid?
Right.
Like, what would the thing be?
I don't even know. I don't know. I really don't.
Does he come off as, like, smug at all?
I don't feel like I don't get that from him. No. No, he seems like a pretty easygoing, heavy-set dude. And like that guy's hard to hate.
Yeah, that's true. Stefanski, no. Zach Taylor, you'll never hate because of the Hamlin game.
Right.
Too much respect. Dave Canales might take some work.
That's going to take
off
a lot
of bye.
That's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, not the easiest season necessarily for coach hating.
No.
Who's missing? Pete Carroll isn't on here. Would you be able to hate Pete Carroll? It's not hate with Pete Carroll, but he can be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some sort of conspiracy theory stuff.
Yeah. And yeah.
Just like, you know, slow down over there, working yourself up into a lather, congratulating your defense for a 3rd-and-8 stop down 20-3. Just, you know what? Let's just pick our spots. Sean Payton isn't on here this year.
Ugh, yeah.
That's an easy one.
That's an easy one. The visors. Sorry.
Jim Harbaugh isn't on here this year. Dable, Dan Quinn.
I really need to dig
McVay,
in. McVay. I'm going to need to dig in.
Kyle Shanahan. A lot of the marquee coaches are missing from
right.
the Bills
yeah.
Schedule. Yeah, you are going to have to dig in. No more time off here. No more days off.
No, that's for sure. Yeah.
Michael is with us. Hello.
Everything okay there?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, sorry. This guy almost cut me off on the highway.
Well, glad you made it through to talk to us. It's very important.
Sorry. Sorry, guys. I just wanted to touch on Gabe Davis. I heard Joe this morning with Jeremy just going on tilt about Davis being re-signed. Listen, to me, I agree with Jeremy. I don't think he gets past the practice roster. He's always been a good leader. We've always heard that from Dal and other guys that cover the build, that he is a good leader. And just in case, God forbid, there's an injury in the playoffs, you got a guy in your practice squad that hopefully he doesn't get plucked, or he might even get plucked. You never know. But from a leadership perspective, I think it's great. He can kind of show Coleman the way. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be much of a factor.
I hope it's not, and I don't say that to be, because I agree with how you put it. You know, if he needs to be called on, that's dependability. You know, trust. There's a lot, and there's, you know, a reasonably talented football player in there if he's healthy. So I think I got no problem with any of that. The place you'd run into trouble to me, and I don't predict this at all, though Sal was talking about him getting to the roster once he's healthy, I just don't know where you're putting him. You're displacing either Palmer, who was your marquee free agent signing, certainly on that side of the ball. Like Joey Bosa's probably was a bigger deal financially. Only 1 year, though. Palmer's multi-years. But Palmer's should be entrenched out there on one side, and Coleman's your other outside receiver, and you should be heavily invested in making that work. So if Davis has to play for a reason outside of injury, then you something's derailed. Something isn't going the way you planned on it going, I think. It's fine to have a backup plan, and Davis is a good backup plan. And hopefully injury is the only reason he has to see the field. Because I think if he sees the field any other way, it's something went wrong.
Joe was on tilt. About what? Because Gabe Davis might play? Maybe, I guess. He didn't draft him last night, Joe. I know that. So he might hate him. I've been baffled by sort of the aura, if you will, of the conversation with Davis. Like, I just don't get it. What are we worried about? Gabe Davis is, they've got 5-6 receivers on the active roster. He's below them. Maybe there's someone else in the practice squad he might be below. I don't even know. Do we not think he's like among the top 250 NFL receivers, you know, receivers in the league, whatever that math is? Like familiarity with the quarterback, everything else, the organization. I mean, of course, you don't want to have anybody on your practice squad have to mean a lot, but my goodness, we've been pining for receiver talent for how long? And he doesn't qualify? I don't know how Joe feels. Like the caller, he was honking at people. I don't know how Joe feels. Right. But you should have called Joe, maybe. Like, I'm still baffled by what we're afraid of with this. He was good. I'm not going to spend any more energy on it unless people can explain it to me. What's the problem? They didn't cut somebody for Gabe Davis to come back. In fact, they waited out the entire offseason where he got not offers necessarily, but made visits to other teams. And he was perfectly free to, if he got an offer, to sign with Pittsburgh or San Francisco or wherever else he went. The Bills wait out the whole thing. I think maybe it was because they don't have that much money to play with. And so, sure, we'll take you. But, you know, only on our terms. Then the offseason ends. It's like, all right, I'll take it. You know, I want to work.
Yeah.
He's 26. What even is it? Sal was on this morning, and they talked to him about this. And I think maybe it was Joe who asked Sal, like, is he for you the likeliest of these veterans on the practice squad to come up? And he didn't quite say yes. Like he talked about Phillips, and he talked about the nuances of, like, you've got the Dwayne Carter injury, different circumstances that are in play. So he didn't quite say yes. But he also, I think, said it wouldn't surprise him if they called Davis up at some point. And I don't know, are we supposed to hate that if that happens? Who's out when that happens? It's such a crime that I don't know. Like if they lost Coleman again for a game and they brought Davis up to play,
what he should be here for,
right?
And I have no problem with that. I don't know. I would have a hard time. You're trying to figure out why people would be mad about that, and I don't have any idea. You know, if it's a larger, you know, receiver room issue, you know, because when they had him in for the visit even, but, you know, a few weeks before they brought him back here now to the practice squad, I made a point about, like, you want to tell me how set you are at receiver again? Like, you're going back to Gabe Davis. You know, but that, again, that's the top end of the thing. And that's not, to me, if you're mad about Gabe Davis being here because you think he's about to, like, just assume the role he had when last he appeared in a Bills uniform, I mean, I don't know 100% that you're dead wrong, but I think, I'm pretty sure you're dead wrong. He's not going to be your number two receiver.
Yeah, I don't even, I didn't think to bring it up today. Caller wanted to bring it up. Maybe Joe was mad. I don't know. But Twitter, like I said last week, a version of this, like Twitter, Bills fans on Twitter read like, they all own restaurants and Gabe Davis never paid his check. Like he visited all their restaurants and just like stiffed them or somebody. Like he did things below the surface that we don't even know what they are unless you're sort of in the know, and crimes against humanity or something like that. I don't understand. Probably not meaningfully relevant to anything that happens here this year. If he is, it's because it's good. Because they'll need him because they're thin, or they're just not that talented at that position, and he gets healthy and goes in and makes plays that make you remember 4 years ago. Is that impossible? I mean, it's
not impossible, but I would not say that that's good. If it's injury, that's fine. If any of these other guys don't perform well enough that Gabe Davis has to be called on for performance reasons, I'm going to feel like we didn't do a very good job of putting together a good receiver room.
Okay, and that is something to talk about more, like we haven't done that 100,000 times. But, you know, that I think both things could be true. I think it could be good because they need him, because somebody else didn't make it. And, you know, regrettable draft pick or signing, but you have a little bit of a – you have a parachute in this guy. I think that's more credible than – most other possible options. 803-0550 on the Ravens. Jeremy Kahn from Baltimore at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.